Did he just shout all skips? Yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Howson's Brew. I've not got a fucking brew.
We've got loads of guests.
I do have loads of guests, starting from your right, my left. We have Jay Motte from Full Time Devils. Woo!
Go on, Jay.
We have that fucking presenter from the Late Night Live Show, also known as Joe Smith.
Thank you.
And we have Ryan.
All right.
And, of course, Stephen Howson.
Oh, and me.
Yeah.
Love to see you again, Stephen.
Hope everyone's well. Hope you got a brew. We went with Bruno. Oh. Brew. Because we got Bruno and...
And also, you've got no brew.
And I've got no...
So
yeah, Bruno.
It worked perfectly,
it worked on every level, didn't it? Get your questions in and all that sort of stuff. And and maybe we'll answer some of them. If you want to take us off topic, definitely do that. I'll ask you, Jay, seeing as though you're over here. Is Bruno Fernandes the best player in the Premier League as of next week when he arrives?
Obviously.
There we go.
I've rated him...
Clip that up at 28 seconds.
At least the last... When did we first get linked with him?
Summer.
Since the summer, he's been one of the best players I've ever seen.
When it was bollocks.
Yeah.
Interestingly.
I've loved all his work at Sporting and Lisbon. Yeah.
Everything is done.
And Portugal.
Portugal. Forget Ronaldo.
As a whole.
Bruno Fernandes is the future. I mean, his stats are good. He looks good on bits of paper.
They are good stats.
Yet to see
they are good stats.
Flesh or on a football pitch, but his stats are very good.
What do you reckon, Ryan?
He'd be right, I reckon.
You're still on a sugar high from that mocha, aren't you?
Yeah, it's gone
mocha,
straight to me.
And then two extra sugars in it.
Well, I don't know if it was two or not, because I had to... I'll probably use the last little bit of the sugar.
He was just pouring it in straight from the jar.
Which is why I've not got a brew.
So apologies there, Steve.
Yeah.
My mocha was delicious, though. So
that's good.
What are you drinking?
Just a black coffee.
Just a black coffee? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Posh. How's that posh? That's the least posh. It's adding nothing to it.
Is there any fear that Bruno Fernandes could be an absolute flop?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Possibly.
I mean, right. Does anyone actually sit in here, look at his stats and see that, you know, he was a part of 52 goals last season? Does anyone have any sort of, like, danger that he's going to get anything like that?
I've seen a few compilations of him, which is all you can ask of a fan. I've seen a few compilations. There are a lot of sort of what you might call questionable goalkeeping decisions that led to a few of his goals. Like, do you know sometimes you think, when you play like a Portuguese team in Europa League, the team looks good, but when you watch highlights of the league, every single goal is just like four people streaking through the defence. Like, there's no defence. The goalkeepers are like diving the wrong way and stuff. There's a bit of that going.
Benny Hill music.
Yeah.
Streaking.
It's a bit Benny Hill. Yes.
We're going streaking!
Everyone's naked. But it's just like, it's just...
It's warmer.
I can imagine some of the shots that go in won't go in, but that's ridiculous numbers, isn't it?
You need to get way closer to your mic.
And it's not like there's like 20 people in Portugal with 25 goals and 20 assists. Is
there is not.
He's standout even in that league, so surely he's decent.
That's it. If Andreas Pereira was teleported or flew...
Teleport?
Or drove to Portugal, are you getting 52 goals a year out of him?
No, is that the benchmark? Though?
Maybe conceded.
No, I'm just asking you a question.
Right.
I'm not saying that if you get 52 goals or you don't.
My only
worry obviously is shades of grey.
Bruno Fernandes is, right. I've been watching United a little bit lately. We're not that good.
Man United.
That's a bold shout.
Right.
He's right.
And we seem to be the only team that's really going for him. Why is no one else going for him if he's that good?
Good looking question.
Does anyone else?
Well, again, though, did they? Was that like, oh, how much is it? Oh, 60 million. No, not for us.
Because I'm just Tottenham all over. Though.
Yeah, that's what I mean, though. Again, though, Spurs, where are they in the league? Why is no one. And there's lots of clubs in Europe that aren't the forces they once were, who you would think were crying out for someone who can bring 50 odd goals or whatever. Assists to their team. So why have United almost, apart from the sort of passing interest by Spurs, got a free run at this guy?
Well, I think it's a mixture of... It seems, you know, when you get sometimes you go to a market and people are like grabbing you, like, buy this jewellery, buy this necklace, buy this, like, ornamental light or whatever. They're, like, selling you it.
No.
I feel like his agents are doing that to United. Like, we're walking through and they're like, buy him. He wants to go. We need money. Buy him. It feels like they're selling their player.
I think it's a really good point.
But also... when you talk about like former big clubs that need good players, look what Inter are doing. They've got Sanchez from us, Pogba, Lukaku from us. Look like they're getting Ashley Young from us,
Damian,
and they're like near the top of the league.
But yeah, I agree with all that. But you know, one thing that really worries me this season, and I don't mean to bring it the brew to a downer already, is that there's a good chance an English club is going to win the Champions League. And it obviously ain't going to be us.
Don't you put that evil on me.
Sorry. I'm sorry
put
to say
that.
I'm sorry.
Room.
But the reason there's a good chance of it is there's no European team that are, like, miles above anyone else in this country. So if this guy's so good, I don't know, as I said earlier, I've only seen him on bits of paper. I don't know how good he is, but it's slightly odd to me that a Real Madrid, a Barcelona, or someone of that ilk have got gone. And it's not exactly difficult for Barca to go, you know what, we'll take 50, 60 million quid punt on this guy who's just smashing it to bits in Portugal.
Other clubs might be a bit hesitant because obviously the season he had last season, where I think he had like 50 goal involvements, and then this season he smashed it again. Might be a bit hesitant to be like, well, he's not going to reach them numbers again. He's already had his best season now.
Stats-wise, he's 11 goals, 10 assists. This was before yesterday's game, by the way.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, in two shots. I think he had two shots on target.
I was like stunned.
Scored two goals.
I wasn't denying it.
I saw one of them on the telly, well, on YouTube.
It was a bit on the filthy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Like, needed a shower after it.
It was like... Okay, that's ridiculous.
Up until that game where he scored two. Okay, so let's do these maths, everybody. So that would be 20 starts, 13 goals, and it was 10 assists. So that's not bad, is it?
Decent, that.
That's all right.
That's not, the maths
from midfield.
Not bad.
Yeah, the maths is. It's definitely in a not bad bracket.
If he does half of that for us, we'll be
maybe
buzzing.
Maybe does a quarter of that. Yeah. That's not bad because that puts you on track for 10 goals. 10 assists for the season, which from midfield,
especially
that's
not,
fucking great.
Like a number 8, if that's where he does play. Well, I think at the minute he'd probably come in at 10, wouldn't he?
He strikes me as the player that Pereira thinks he is.
Oh.
And I do like Andres Pereira.
From my little assessment of him, I'm thinking he's actually a preemptive replacement for Pogba. That's what I think he is.
That makes
sense. Probably play together at some point because Pogba's going to need games, and if you buy a shiny thing, the shiny thing plays. So you probably find a way to have to play them together. But I think he's Pogba's replacement.
Is that not sort of... Again, I don't want to be Mr. Negative here, and I feel like I am. Apologies. But is that not almost like... In a way, we're going to be weaker in this season than we are now?
I think if that's the only midfielder we get, then that might be the case.
Yeah, that's a fair comment.
Three players, then overall we could have sort of...
Well, what if we have five incoming between now and the end of summer? That'd be all right.
I mean, I get that Pogba's not playing, so someone playing is better than Pogba not playing. But my point is, you know, is he as good as Pogba? Probably not. So if he's Pogba's replacement, you're sort of getting rid of arguably your best player and bringing in someone who's not quite as good as him.
But what if he isn't as good as Pogba in terms of a player? But what if he's... Because, like, you wouldn't have said... On the face of things, anyone that Liverpool brought in and around about where Coutinho was a better footballer.
No, that's a good
point.
But
if they're a better fit for the system and the team, then the team is better. That's what I'm hoping we get out of this. That we go, actually, yes, he's moved on, but we bring in X and Y, and that makes our football team better. You know, together they make us better, but you know, individually, none of them stack up to Pogba's abilities.
Like Moneyball.
I was
literally
watched Moneyball last night. I was just going to mention that.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Just his underpants.
We've seen Pogba as well.
It's got Brad Pitt in it.
He's always been like cursed by his own versatility. Like we've seen him play at 6. He can't really do it, but he's done it. We've seen him play at 8. We've seen him play at 10. Like he almost doesn't have like a single position that he's definitely going to play. Was if we get someone like Grealish in, or Madison, or whoever, they're probably going to play at 10. Fernandes is going to play at 8. Like, it might just be better having players that don't get injured playing in a position they know they're going to play for 35 games a season.
Do you think this could be the end of two holding midfielders long term? Because that seems to be a staple now, doesn't it, for us? But I think, are we always going to have two holding midfielders?
I think if we buy a holding midfielder and that can do it by themselves, then maybe, but I don't think we have one in the club at the minute.
I love 4-3-3, and I think Bruno Fernandes as a number 8, which is where I think you get the best Bruno Fernandes with someone else alongside him, is better for Manchester United. I think our issues are getting the ball to a 10 or a striker right now. So if you just buy Bruno Fernandes and go stand in a number 10 position, we'll just look as lost as Jesse Lingard does.
Yeah,
you know, because he's just not going to get the ball. Our issue is moving it through that middle third. So for me, I want to see him either played, and this is probably going to clip his wings, you either play him alongside like McTominay on the baseline 6, or you play a midfield 3, and he's 1, a bit like Pogba, where he's allowed to just do what he wants a little bit and freed up from that defensive responsibility by having like a turbo aggressive Niguez or someone alongside a McTominay. And that's what you want. And then that team can play. And I think it gives you potential flexibility. If you've got a Fred, and it's a team that's going to sit back, really defend deep, you play Fred alongside Fernandez. It's a little bit more lightweight, but it moves the ball nice. Yeah, a bit like what you get with Silva and De Bruyne. Possibly, probably not as good. Or better.
Yeah.
Right? And then you have...
That's going to get clips off.
Yeah, they're not joking.
Yes.
Anyway. Or against a team that's likely to hit you a bit harder, you move them into a 10. And you go with maybe a Niguez and a McTominay. Someone that's a bit more meaty in the centre. Yeah. I think you've got options if you have multiple... because I think you can still make the case that you have to sign three. Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I can easily sit here now and convince everybody that Grealish, Fernandez, and Niguez, because he's just the one that we're linked to currently, would improve our midfield, and all three would play a part.
And you sell Pogba and sell one of Lingard or Andreas, maybe.
It looks like Lingard with the Raiola thing. Andreas, because of his flexibility. I'd keep around because he's not on a lot.
He can play in all three of those positions.
And your left or right wing in a...
Is this lad... sorry to go backwards a little bit. Is Fernandez a dead ball specialist?
Oh. Is he?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know you're chuckling now, but he didn't have it on the bit of paper I read about him.
I don't know about that.
So is he taking the ball off Marcus and Fred?
Maybe. I'd say definitely take it off Fred.
Yeah, Marcus.
I love Fred standing over free kicks, though.
It's optimal. It gives you the hope, doesn't it?
Do you know what I mean? It shows no matter what life throws at you, just keep going.
But yeah, I think Bruno Fernandes makes a lot of sense.
And he can I know it sounds stupid to say, but he can definitely pass the ball, which is something we don't really have many of.
I think he's early. Do you know, people, I saw someone, I think it was on the news this morning, someone said to Casey, is he going to get as much time on the ball as he gets in Portugal? One, no.
No, of course.
Two, he doesn't actually dwell on the ball. If you look at Paul Pogba, Paul Pogba does like an extra touch and an extra way to beat a man and stuff like that. What I saw from Bruno Fernandes is he plays it early. He likes that early ball. He likes an early through ball. He likes an early long ball. He definitely likes an early shot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like I said, Andres Pereira, when he wakes up in the morning, he's like, we're scoring 340 yards in training today, our kid. Let's do it. High five myself on the way out. Well, yeah, that's what Bruno Fernandes does. But he scores them.
So are we all agreed then that it's definitely not happening, this transfer?
I mean, if there is anyone that he's going to mess it up, we know who it's going to be. I'm not saying his name. Cause
I think there's a chance. I do think there's a good chance. I think... I think the only thing...
Controversial.
Do United want him or not is the only thing that's stopping it. Obviously, there's a chance of it happening, but I think he obviously wants to come. Sporting need to sell players. They're like pushing him through the door at Carrington, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, I think it's literally they were talking about a fee isn't decided.
But was there not the was
you, short word
I don't know if any of you guys know that you might not state. Was there any truth in this sort of story that started coming out in the summer that we didn't get him because we had doubts about his ability? Or was that nonsense? Because there was sort of rumours coming out that the club had actually said no, actually he's not the player before.
All I know is that we weren't in for him. Fact. Right, okay. So we didn't put a bid in.
Right, fine.
So you can argue the rights and wrongs of that, but we just didn't.
Could that be because we can only do one transfer at a time because we've got a complete inept clown running our transfer policy?
Exactly right.
One transfer at a time, we were like, that can't be true. And it was like, next.
And I love the way we took so long to do transfers that literally started with Palace saying, we want 50 million. And 8 days later, I was going, okay then. Leicester saying, we want 80 million plus 5 million add-ons. Yeah. And then 8 days later, we're going, okay then.
Is that the worst bartering you've ever seen?
No, it's not. Fellaini was. Oh. In the start of the summer, he's worth 22 million. You know what? We don't want him for that. Well, you can pay 27 in 3 weeks instead. That's at least we've come down from that.
But
at least we're paying the same
amount
more.
But there was a reason for that. The reason was, we obviously, he wasn't our first choice and we thought we were going to get other players. We thought we were going to get Herrera, we thought we were going to get Fabregas. There was talk of Kadir, I don't know how realistic that was. But it was obvious that we had something else we thought we could do. But with like Wan-Bissaka and Maguire, we were obviously straight in for him. And we ended up paying exactly what they wanted.
March.
Yeah, in March.
March.
And they wanted 50 million and we paid it.
Fucking July.
Yeah. That's what I mean. It's like, what was the negotiation?
That was 4 months.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, for a player that wanted to come.
How long do you think it takes to write a contract? Do you think it's mostly copy and paste?
Yeah.
From like the last.
I reckon there's probably.
Do you think Maguire's going, my name's not Alan Wan-Bissaka?
We tried to do a replace all, but one of the Wan-Bissakas was spelled wrong.
Yeah, he was a double S instead of a double K.
What's going on?
Yeah, I don't think it takes that long. And surely there's teams of lawyers that you're paying through the arse for.
In a day.
Yeah.
Like we saw with Falcao or whatever. Like people.
We are like proper comedy club, aren't we, with transfers? There was the fax machine, there was the imposters for Herrera, all right, whatever it was.
It was a password protect. Can we set this fucker, like, can we stop saying it was a fax machine?
No, don't spoil it, it's better. Come on.
Password protected email file, which is genius. Because Ed sends over the email, there's all the paperwork you need, boys. And then they open it and they go, what's la password?
You know what the
password is, fucking. capital H and a 4 at the end.
No, it knows it. It's probably password.
But that was the script with the old De Gea transfer. That was either a monumental fuck up, which is embarrassing, but because it got the result we all really wanted, is genius. And I don't know which way. It's both at the same time, I think.
There's that, and the other one was the one you were talking about, that summer with Herrera. Do you remember the imposters?
I don't know about that.
It wasn't imposters, was it? It was people the club had hired. Yeah, the people the club had hired just rocked up at the... and the arrogance to do that as well. Like,
what, they just turned up at the club and went, we're here to sign Ander Herrera?
The offices of La Liga.
All right.
So they turned up. That's what you have to do. You have to literally put... And I think it's cash, which is bananas. Because, like, these are £40 million transfers. Just
like
guys.
30,
yeah. Yeah. Turn up wearing sunglasses and free overalls. It's like out of a fucking film, innit? But that was supposedly... I think the club rubbished it afterwards, but I think Andy Mitten mentions something like... No, that was, like, on behalf of the club, like...
Well, right, you see, you're reading all these favourite stories. The facts between the imposters were two of my favourite sort of examples.
I think the club tried to distance themselves from after they fucked it up. The club was like, nothing to do with us.
Don't know who they are.
Do you think people just walk around with fucking...
That was also the 10:30 Fabio Contral bid, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That summer.
Oh, I remember him.
Yeah.
How good was
he? Like, half 10 at night, we thought we were going to buy him.
Where did he go after Madrid?
I don't know.
Back to Portugal, he's still there, isn't he?
Do you remember when he sat on the bench when he wasn't picked?
No.
He got his kit on once and was sat on the bench when Mourinho was manager, and everyone started like talking to each other and pointing at him, and then there's video, you can pull it up, of Mourinho like starts laughing, and then they call him over and tell him he's not in the squad and he has to go and leave because he just literally put his kit on and fought it.
Yeah. Like, you can't just sit, can I not just
get out.
You have to actually leave the ground, you
right
boss.
Let's do a quick little ups and down votes poll.
Do you
think, give me an up vote if you think we're going to get Bruno Fernandes.
I'm voting so hard.
Down vote if you think Woodward's probably going to fuck it up this week. I mean,
how do you upvote on a phone?
It's just the same.
Find a way to upvote on that.
You know,
give us your ups, give us your downs.
Voice activated. Thumbs.
Oh, Alexa, thumbs off.
I've been mildly impressed with what I've seen of him so far. He's certainly not going to replicate those numbers. I mean, fuck my ass if he does.
Even if he's half of that.
If he does, oh my.
The number, that's all I can
we'll
go
save
off.
That. Like,
even if he does half of those numbers, no, he's still mild.
If he gets 10 and 10, that's for me, that's the standard in the Premier League. For a top midfield, if you get 10 goals, 10 assists, you've had a really good season. That's like...
Well happy.
Yeah. Unless your name's Paul Pogba, you still get criticism.
Yeah, even if you get 15 and 15 like Pogba did last season, you're still shit.
It's belting, man. It's absolutely belting. What was Hazard's finger when he was the fucking greatest player ever? No, don't write it in the comments. Like the video or downvote the video. Don't just put it in the comments, you maniacs. I'm not counting them.
Here you are. Get your
there's
talent,
a one.
Chat.
All right, that's an up. There's a down. There's an up and a fire. There's someone pointing like that. No, not them ones. The likes and dislikes on. You know what I mean? Come
hasn't
on.
Rashford,
it's not your first fucking YouTube video. And if it is, welcome.
Rashford just needs to enjoy the Hazard's best season, hasn't he? In terms of goals.
Not in the league.
I don't think he's far off. Though,
no, he is not far off.
Was he on 14 goals, Rashford?
Yeah. In the league, yeah. Second leading scorer. Which is nuts, because if you'd have said that at the start of the season, Rashford's going to be joint leading scorer in the thingy, you'd have been like, behave yourself.
And then if you'd have said, and third will be...
Danny Ings,
mate. Doing like, bits. That is Rashford ridiculous.
Especially with how shit Southampton
are. Yeah.
Even Vardy was like... As up and down.
Yeah.
Vardy, Rashford, Danny Ings, top three. This
well,
is like
even like Tammy Abraham as well.
Sam Allardyce's win.
Yeah, no, that's a good shot. I didn't think Abraham would get anywhere near the numbers he's got, to be fair.
Excuse me, there's a lot of
Abraham's good play.
England have got so many good right backs and strikers. If we could just swap them for a few central midfielders, we'd be fine.
England don't have a midfield going into
don't
these
have
Euros.
Any midfield.
You're looking at Harry Winks and Jordan Henderson.
Jordan Henderson, yeah.
Who probably like Ross Barkley or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's
and even Ross Barkley would be going like.
I don't deserve to be in here.
And I'm not fucking about with the transitions.
That was so quick. That was so guilty. No, that was like one of my kids. No, wasn't me.
Like, your kid's got his mate round, didn't he? We're just playing with a transition.
Behind the camera, we've got fucking Cameron and oh my god, and Joe McGrath from Radio Fame. No wonder you're unemployed now. Not too much. Not too much. You're unemployed in March then. Fuck's sake. Like, they're just fucking about with all the transitions. I do apologise, everybody. Welcome to the fucking 80s with these two clowns.
Super Paddock Sales
Jesus
Edition.
Jesus Christ. Do you know what? When I thought you having a show was mental.
Yeah, that's what
them two
doing.
Fucking donuts behind the cameras even more mental, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking hell.
What about Jack Grealish, Steve?
He's got a wonderful head of hair, hasn't he?
He has, hasn't he? One of the best sets of hair in the Premier League.
He's third in chances good created. Set, I think he's got 53 chances created this season.
Yeah.
If memory serves.
That's an embarrassment.
Which is just above James Maddison.
I thought it might be, yeah. Just below Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Just so you know, Cam, you're being paid to do this.
I ain't got anything I can throw. It's not going to damage my entire fucking office.
Yeah, that Peronese is too valuable to you.
Peronese is definitely got. The rum's going to fucking murder someone.
Yeah. Ooh.
Highlighter.
Yeah, lob a highlighter out. Right? Tell his broke.
Anyway, give us some questions in the comments.
Commentos.
What is wrong with him?
Oh, by the way, if you're watching, watch tonight. We've got a late night live coming at 10 p.m. I've hit the prime time now. 10 p.m.
Have you moved him forward now? He's gone from BBC Three to BBC One.
BBC Two.
BBC. Yeah, right. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah.
I don't want my nan watching.
Yeah.
yeah. It was 11 p.m. Now it's 10 p.m. tonight. We're going to be going all over all the transfers, any breaking news, all the stuff for the papers tomorrow. It's going to be a bit of a laugh, isn't it? It's going to be really fun tonight. I'm excited. I haven't got any special plans. It's just fun. Bruno Fernandes, mate, is happening.
Anyway,
any comments?
Some people talking about Jude Bellingham. Any news? Mm. I reckon there's probably a lot in that. I don't think that's the sort.
Is this
of
a 16-year-old lad from Birmingham City?
Normally, is when it's just a random name that pops up.
Isn't it? It's a bit of a Dan James no lose scenario. That one, though, isn't it? 12.5 million quid, I think he was quoted for a 16-year-old. If he never kicks a ball, it's not the end of the world. And if he does anything, it's a bargain.
Right. Word is that there's two signings that are likely in for United in this window. I think it's probably safe to assume we're working on Bruno Fernandes, whether we get it done or not.
Yeah.
I'll go around all of you individually. We'll start with young Ryan, and I'll say, who do you reckon, or what position do you reckon, the second one is?
I reckon it's another centre mid.
Should be, really, shouldn't it?
You think so? I'm not sure who, though. That Havertz has been quite mentioned.
Mm.
But besides that, maybe striker as well, but I can't really think of anyone.
We've not been linked to any strikers, have we?
Since Haaland.
Yeah. And was it then purely opportunistic for Haaland because all his work with him and this, that and the other, or is there something in training he's going, I need a X?
It was an easy link to make, though, wasn't it, to be fair?
Mm. Yeah, so, I think we were interested in Haaland.
Yeah.
Oh, we definitely were.
Definitely were. Like,
we definitely
it's
were.
Come out before and since that we
but
were.
But didn't
we
sign him anyway?
Yeah, never liked him anyway, actually.
Don't even want to play in the Champions League.
They wanted loads of money from us for this player that we wanted to buy. How dare they? That's a bit of a strange one, wasn't it? Coming out saying that people wanted paying for him. We're not giving you money for him. We went in for hardly anything. Otherwise,
how much
you can go
for
Dortmund.
Him, yeah. 20 mil.
Was it, though? I've never actually seen a fee even mentioned for him.
But you've also got to remember, Raiola's involved.
Yeah, that's true. He's taking 15.
And do you know what, though? Like, yeah. The word on the street was that they wanted some sort of release clause putting in and also something else a bit funky. Let me
My question with that is, I know it makes the club look a bit weak, you're like acting as though like we're a selling club and all that release clauses, whatever. But isn't there part of it where it's like, what, so we just don't get a player we wanted because like we might have had him for 3 years.
It was a
what's
word.
The, do we not, I don't know.
Future buyout from the next club was a problem. So some sort of release fee.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a sell-on fee or clause. Sell-on clause, which is, do you know what? On one hand, though, get him over the fucking line.
Yeah, that's
worry
what
about it in the future.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the? Do you think it makes us look a bit weak, suggesting that we need to sell him for whatever?
I think the thing that made it look weak for us was the amount of stories that were coming out about how Dortmund had done, sort of pulled out all the stops, made a transfer that United could have done. They made it happen by, you know, just little sort of easy wins, getting the players from Dortmund to message him, getting Puma involved, the sponsors to make him a special kit, just daft little things that made him sort of feel like welcome.
Yeah.
And then obviously, pains me to say it, but doing what they needed to do, Raiola, keeping him happy, you know, reaching out to his dad, reaching out to Haaland's dad, just making it all seem like an attractive prospect where United may have had a slight bit of arrogance.
Yeah, yeah. Weird shoulder.
Yeah.
Right? Do you know the party that they took him to?
Yeah.
That's what you've got to do with Raiola.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, you think we'd learn from the whole Fergie, you know, thought he was like oil and water and all that shit. Yeah. Just get on with him. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know he's not a nice guy, but he's a necessary evil, for want of a better expression.
Yeah. But is he a necessary evil, though? Or is he an evil that you can just you sort of play without?
Well, to be honest with you, I mean, you made a point, Steve, about everyone was sort of saying, I think there becomes a justification of like, well, we don't want him to hurt Greenwood's progress, and we've got Marcus is only 22 and Anthony Martial is only 24 or whatever. But you made the point that when Marcus was coming through, he had three strikers ahead of him. When other strikers have been at the club, whether that's Ollie, whether that's Teddy, whether that's Andy Cole, Dwight York, whatever, there's always been other strikers there. Yeah. And yet, if you're good enough, you'll get enough games and you'll be effective. So there was no reason why we couldn't have Haaland and still keep Greenwood happy and still have Marcus doing his bits and still Martial.
It's like Karol Poborski after a Euros for a lot of money at the time, when David Beckham was sort of breaking him through into the team. And a bought player like that will get played over an academy prospect because of the fact that you've paid money for him and you need that to work for the bottom line. David Beckham forces his way in.
Especially at striker, like, how many strikers are there, like, floating around Europe that left Man United because there were too many players ahead of them that have been good enough to play for United?
Yeah, there's not many. No.
I mean, even thinking across the whole team, PK is one. Like, that's about it, isn't it? Like,
and the if you're good enough, you just, he was always
you'll force your way to the front of the queue. Like, if Green was good enough, he'll beat, you know, Haaland or whoever eventually, and if not, then he'll go.
And let's face facts, we could have quite easily had Haaland in our squad this season and played him and Greenwood and Martial and Rashford. Yeah. Yeah, there's many times when our attackers have needed rested. Martial's missed a big chunk of the season. We had Rashford playing down the middle when it's obvious he's far more effective on the left-hand side. So this idea we couldn't have fitted another striker in without being detrimental to Greenwood is just a nonsense. And I think there's an element of us or certain people or some fans just trying to say, oh, well, we didn't want him anyway. Of course I would have had Haaland.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'd have been buzzing if we'd have got him. Yeah. It was a win-win because he's a 19-year-old. Even if he doesn't work out, so what?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Especially and from what we've seen, yeah,
sign all the players.
All of them. Just get them all.
And like Greenwood's had, I think, 15 Premier League appearances or something, and almost all of them have been a sub. So it's like you still get loads of appearances.
Yeah,
you get plenty of minutes, but you're not going to start
every
game.
It's just frustrating because it could have as well just made everything a little bit happier, for want of a better expression, because he's got a connection to Ollie, so there's that there. So maybe Ollie's not under as much pressure as he was because people think, well, Ollie's one of the reasons that we've got this sort of wunderkind. So let's keep Ollie. Let's keep Ollie. Yeah, you know, I'm fluent in French. and then you've got a player that was sought after by a lot of clubs. So you're still sort of showing we're Man United. We can still get these deals done. And you've just got a player who's going to score loads of goals for you. So everyone's happy with that as well. It's just,
can you imagine we added both Bruno and Haaland?
That's what I mean. And it's just annoying because
Gidiometer's just gone through the fucking roof.
Gidiometer.
Well, this is it. I don't mind missing out on players to Barcelona and Real Madrid, but we should be able to beat Dortmund to someone.
Yeah. While I'm talking about measuring devices and the implements, I was thinking about getting a brandonometer. How about we talk? Put it on me, please, while I'm talking. Thank you. There we go.
He's too fucking...
I know. Stop fucking touching the fucking transitions and fucking do your job.
Toasted marshmallows in the background.
Anyway, so I'm thinking of having a brandonometer, right? Which I'm going to have a tally on one side of goals and a tally on to the side of red cards. Because I think that's going to be... You can't have yellow cards because that's just going to win.
It'll break.
Yeah. So that's what I'm thinking. Brandonometer, goals on one side, red cards on the other side. And
what if you don't get any for 2 years?
What, red cards?
Either.
Well, he's gone.
You mean you'd have said the same about Rowo. And he's
I would have said the same about Rowo, but I am saying the same about Brandon.
I think he's going to be like...
What if we get a sad face for his red cards? Like, and then a dead happy face, and you just, it's like a little climb. Like,
he should really be on two goals already.
Should be.
And maybe one red card.
We had he had the VAR thing, didn't he, with one red card at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to be like Andy Cole with goals, once, and with red cards, though. Once he gets one, he's just going to not get like... the floodgates are going to be opened.
Players seem to go through phases in their career where they get like 3 or 4 in 6 months, don't they?
Yeah, Fernandinho got a world for City.
Yeah.
One,
yes, mate.
Red cards in 6 months.
Yeah, it happens.
These I don't two. Think that was that
Statler
most.
And Statler and Waldorf.
That wasn't the most outrageous thing I've ever heard.
What? This is an idea for these two. Was fucking well, man.
4 red cards in 6 games.
Yeah. Right, yeah, that happens, doesn't it? You can pull some stats like, there.
No, I'm not going to pull up any stats. where players will get sent off and then they come back from suspension and get sent off, you know, quite soon again.
Cantona, Keane, right. Vidic, right? Those were players that got sent off frequently. I think all of them had like 4 or 5 red cards. Keane might have had like 8. I think, but do you know what? You needed that in their game, and I think Brandon's going to be the same. I think that
you don't want to lose that edge.
No, because if Adama Traore is running at him on Wednesday night, you almost want Adama Traore to go. He might fucking boot me.
Yeah,
he might actually.
It's worth noting. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, though. He's not just a thug, is he, that goes around kicking people? And I think some people just get a bit giddy with that sometimes. No, think, he's just, you know, he's got an edge again. But he's obviously...
Keane gets tarnished with the same brush.
Yeah, exactly. And the talk now of Keane and some of the drivel that I've heard that he wasn't that good at football is probably the most outrageous idea that's floating around the internet, and that's saying something. Yeah. Because Roy Keane was one of the best midfielders I've ever seen. And it wasn't just because he ran around kicking people. He was just amazing all around.
No, but he had that edge that kept our team on its toes and the opposition team on its toes.
Yeah.
Because there was always the threat that he might absolutely mull you.
Of course. You know, just ask Zinedine Zidane, who absolutely drops his pants in the Stade d'Alpe.
He lost his head, didn't he? And loads of players have been sent off 3 times in a Premier League season, by the way. Get over it, lads.
I'm not here.
All right, for one, just add him up then. for one, excuse me, just a second. Victor Wanyama, 2015-16. So that's not even number one on the list. There's loads of them.
Frank Sinclair, did he not get sent off?
I would have thought
times,
so. Yeah. Cheers. Thank you. Easy.
I might be wrong.
Days,
forgive me if I'm wrong, Frank.
I do forgive you. Madness. What are we doing tonight, lads? We've talked way too much about football on this, haven't we?
Yeah.
This is the most heavily, densely populated football chat we've ever had in the Harrison's Brook.
Flavour biscuits you go to.
Flavour or brand?
Like milk.
Well, I say flavour like, or colour. Right.
Okay.
Because it annoys people when I say, like, what's your favourite colour?
Does a wagon wheel...
flavour!
Is a wagon wheel a biscuit?
No.
You absolute chaff. Wagon wheel.
You chaff.
What's the chaff in them shoes?
What's the chaviest biscuit?
The chavvy... Wagon wheels.
Do you think?
Mate, that just stinks of, you know... I mean, you're wedding at Greg's.
Wedding catered by Greg's.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Subway platter.
No, I'm not into Wagon Wheels at all, mate.
What are you into?
See, I'm boring.
Cameron,
I'm really boring.
Can't tell me it's jokes. I can see your hand on it. Fucking hell.
I like ginger nuts.
A bit basic, though, isn't it?
I know. That is a bit basic.
They're just coasters.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are basic. I'm sorry. I don't
know. Crunch cream's not a bad biscuit, though.
No. Too creamy. I don't like them ones where it's like a burger. Do you know them burger biscuits? Where it's like.
Yeah, like
bit
an Oreo.
Cream, bit, I'm not a fan of burger biscuits.
Oreos are really overrated.
Joseph, you do my fucking head in.
That's my favourite one, that one.
That's his best one. What biscuits do you like?
I'm a bit boring, mate. So I'm very much just a plain digestive and a cup of tea.
Fucking hell. Jesus Christ.
All the biscuits in the fucking world.
Fucking Big Brother,
all the biscuits you can fucking go to and they're digestive.
Yeah.
They go well with a cup of tea.
I'm sickened.
And a glass of milk.
I'm sickened.
How come you never see chocolate covered ginger nuts anywhere? Because they'd be spectacular, wouldn't they?
Don't know.
I'd love that. Would you like that?
Right to move it.
Chocolate covered. I don't know. I quite like this.
Is still based on the A6?
Yeah.
Are it?
Yeah.
How fast did he answer that then?
Biscuit boy in the background.
Like, have you fucking bit? Hey,
he goes out and takes photos. Don't know.
Can I do the tour again, please? Yeah, I filled my loyalty card.
They're the only
bitties
in the country that can do chocolate, so they do the chocolate digestives and they do penguins.
And the chocolate.
All right, if you didn't hear that, Joe Smith from radio, but not for very long.
Other Joe Smith.
Yeah, sorry.
Joe McGrath.
You may have heard off the radio, but you won't be hearing on the radio for very long because they binned him.
They binned all of us.
this, right, it's him. All right, they binned all of them, but they did bin him. Right, so he's saying that the McVitie's that's in, is it? Does it count as Stockport out there?
Levenshulme,
isn't it? It's on the way to Stockport. It's the only one in the country that does chocolate, so that's where your penguins are definitely getting made, and that's where the all the chocolate covered ones are.
I just made that up, by the way. So.
Right, and that, he just told me that was a lie.
I love it on penguins. How they give you the little joke on a penguin. And like, yeah. A lollipop imagine, stick with what? A joke on it
that
as well.
A penguin needs to be someone's biscuit.
They're not chocolate bars.
Put them as a biscuit.
Ooh, a yeah, biscuit, yeah.
I don't know where you, it's a weird, funky bit of grey.
Because there's a wrapper and it's like, I don't know, I feel like I'm having a treat. Yeah. Penguin.
It's probably more
like
crunchy.
Do you know what you need to say is, I think you need to start telling birds on a night out, maybe not you, Murray,
not penguin birds, like, yeah, no, flightless birds.
Like, flightless ladies. You need to be saying that you're the joke writer for penguins. I think that's a top chat up job.
Yeah, that'll work.
What's your favourite ever chat up job that you've told people?
Can we stop using the term chat up job because it sounds so gross, by the way? Go on, what?
Right, you need to come and get on here, you fucking helmet.
I've shown a film.
No, I'm not. I'm not listening to you until you come and sit on set.
I'm going to go in the middle of the film. That's it.
Joe says that when there's a film on ITV, he plans where the adverts are going to go.
You do scheduling for adverts?
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's a
really
lie.
That's really sexy.
That's
that.
Also a
it's
lie.
Not true. That's his like go-to. One time, me and my mate pretended we owned a IT company to see if these girls fancy us. Actually, IT isn't that sexy, is it?
No.
So didn't really work that well.
One of my mates used to say that his dad owned Ryanair because it's called Ryan.
You see. The only person called Ryan in the country. It must be him.
The problem I had was, obviously, when I was dating, it was before all these apps.
Right.
So you couldn't do, like, you know, Tinder and sending dick pics and all that. So I had to draw them by hand and dish
just
them out.
Just post them?
Yeah.
Did you draw around the
did
real
you
thing?
Like a, right. Did you do, like, a flick book of
them? Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. Look, there
you go. Right. Put it on the table, put a piece
this
of paper
on
the
could
top
be yours tonight?
And did, like, a rubbing of it with charcoal.
Yeah, it didn't last very long, though. I got nicked.
Yeah. That's a shame, isn't it? I don't send dick pics anyway, so we don't have to worry about it.
Well, that's what I mean. It passed me by.
I mean, we could go into some of the other activities on here, but I think
better not to, innit? Let's talk about this.
Give it another 3 months.
Fuck you. To be fair, yeah, the late night live's going to have a fucking triple X section one night where he brings in his things, should we say.
Things. Don't call them that. They're women. They're human beings.
Yeah, that wasn't more.
What are you doing tonight, Ryan, mate?
Probably what I've done for the last few nights, been in bed by 9 o'clock and watched some shit on Netflix.
Fucking hell! Digestive biscuits, plain tea, bed by nine, live a little,
come
man. Here,
is everything all right at home?
Come here, give me your hand.
No, of course it's not.
All right. I'm sweet, I just thought I'd enjoy
probably just stay at home.
Are you not watching Love Island?
Are you enjoying January?
No, fuck that.
Hey, come on, mate. Get involved.
So
get
what
involved,
the fuck?
Get involved in Love Island, it's mint.
Do you like Love Island?
I watched that last year and I didn't enjoy it.
Well, you give me date looks for you never even watch it, so how do you know?
Yeah, you are a bit of that.
Hey.
Who's a bit of a dad?
Yeah.
Confirmed.
Yeah, he's a real dad.
Just a bit.
A literal dad. Why Love Island, though?
Because it's meant once you get into it, you get into it. I get emotionally invested in it. I get angry and everything. I got home a couple of years ago, and Mrs. watching it, and I was like, what the fuck is this shit? But then you start getting into it, you start getting angry, and like, oh no, I hate him, or I'm like, yeah, I hope they win.
I have watched on Netflix this weekend, Preppers.
Wow. Oh, I told you about it, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
How good is it?
Mate.
Doomsday Preppers on Netflix. If you ain't watching it, you ain't living.
One of them, they go
preppers,
to this.
Preppers, what's it about?
Basically,
people who are preparing. And so they
like
ask
the end
them,
of the world.
What particular doomsday scenario are you prepping for?
Is this a documentary?
No, it's John, like and a
TV program. Yeah, it's like documentary.
Real. These are real people, that's what I'm getting at.
Do you think they're all real?
Yes.
Right, okay. Right, so one episode, they're like, oh, here's a little couple which look inbred as fuck.
Hey,
I wonder what they do
hey
for a living. I just said they're lucky. I didn't say they were it.
Easy.
Right? What do they do for a living? Oh, they breed bearded dragons and have a sex shop. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy converts all of his cash into silver. Yep. And when he's getting deliveries. And the guy's like, right, that's $2,700. He's like, do you take barter? The guy's like,
do you take barter? And then the guy's
barter.
Like, yeah.
Oh, the fuck are you talking about right now?
Instead of giving you $2,500, I'll give you this truck and then just shitloads of like coins.
Silver coins?
Old quarters.
Right. Where can I buy fucking concert tickets
for
these
but
coins?
You can swap it for another version of the thing you've just
shit
given me.
I admire that. I admire that people have just said, you know, this money thing. Well, I'm not into it. I'm not doing
well,
it.
Well, that's the thing. Gold.
The next one.
Go on.
I'm sitting there watching the next one, and I'm like, here we go, what's going on here? Oh, is he meeting his... He's got a mail order bride! Yeah. Oh, my God!
And she is not prepared to move to a three-acre pasture of land in no. the middle of fucking nowhere. She was like, I moved here from Colombia because it was meant to be safe. And this guy's like, there's going to be an apocalypse, you are never safe. And she's
but
like,
they're also all preparing for a different apocalypse, yeah. which is what makes it fascinating.
I'll take it they're all American.
Mental. Oh, yeah, this,
and they are very American.
Oh, and the sex toy bearded dragon ones... Mm-hmm. They've got more guns than the British Army.
Yeah,
they've
got a lot of guns.
They are insane. So that is my currently new
favourite. Have you seen that 15-year-old kid who's kitted out with arm soldier?
Not yet.
Watch it. Love it. One of the best.
They're outrageously good,
yeah, and then
they?
At the end, they rank their preparedness for an apocalypse out of 100.
Did you see the guy who was like, we've got redundancies.
Love that guy.
So he's got a thing where he's got all the way down to like, I'm going to pull a ninja sword out on you.
Yeah.
And his escape plan is we've got road, we've got rail, quit it! And we've also got, we can all hide in a boat, right? Now they get a cam net over them, and they're on a boat, and it's just one guy dressed in a ghillie suit, which is like a full sniper thing, and then two lots of people on a river, and I was like...
And then the amazing thing about that is his wife has got an identical twin, and he's like, she moved in with us a couple of years ago, so even women-wise, we've got redundancies. Like, if my wife dies, I'll just take her sister. What? You can't do that. She's got some choice in the matter. Unbelievable. And you see that guy who's got, like, this $2 million ranch, and then his mate comes up who's an absolute nutter, and they're in this, like, Heidi, like, tower thing, and he shoots the proper, like... We're prepared for anything. He shoots this gun, and it goes off near his ear, and he starts crying, and he throws up on the floor. He's like, you fucked up, Steve.
It's almost parody, isn't it?
You fucked up, Steve.
Honestly, like, you're watching it going, is this real? You this can't up, be fucking Steve. Real.
Doomsday Preppers,
right, watch it.
I'm going to give this a go.
Yes.
It's better than Love Island.
Yeah, it is. It kind of is like a Love Island, if you love the idea that
maybe
the world
maybe they should
ends.
Amalgamate the two.
Oh. Right.
Love Island Preppers.
Doomsday Island.
Right, Doomsday Island, yeah. A bit like Battle Royale.
Oh, that'd be amazing. You could amalgamate any two. Joe, because when I'm scrolling through Sky overnight, right, I always, when I see Banged Up Abroad, I think it's Idiot Abroad.
Right, okay.
Every time. I go, fuck's sake. Every fucking time. But if you could amalgamate two shows, because imagine Carl Pilkington in Jail Abroad. What happened? He was trying to import 3 kilograms of heroin in the base of a fucking suitcase. Now he's fucked. Now that is a telly show, isn't it? Right, so if you two, or you three even, you could amalgamate two shows together.
Oh, dear.
What would your shows be and why?
I'd do X Factor and 24 Hours in A&E. And you have to sing to get saved. Like, the surgeons have to decide if you're good enough at singing, they'll operate on you. And
that's
if not,
really
you just die.
A great idea. What would it be called, though?
Blown Away.
Yeah.
There you go, there's a title.
Oh, no. Blown Away, that's such a good show.
Yeah.
You're in.
You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, thank you.
You're in. I don't know what I'd cross it with, but I always like... Penn and Teller's Fool Us or whatever, where you have to do like magic tricks in front of them, and if they can't see how you did it, you get to go on a Vegas show. So if you cross that with something like fucking
Naked and Afraid,
no, Naked Attraction.
Yes.
So you're allowed one prosthetic part. So if you put a massive knob on and they're like, now that's a fake knob, that is, and if it's not, you get to have sex with both of them. There we go.
Ryan,
I've just been trying to think over now, and Man vs. Food is definitely one.
Oh, yeah.
With Adam Rich and not with the new fellow.
Yeah, I dare obviously.
You. I like the new fellow. It's wacky.
Let us know in the comments, what's your two amalgamations?
I can't think what I'd put it with. I was thinking of some sort of prison programme.
Mm. Yeah.
Whoa.
But I can't think of a name of a prison programme.
Mm. 60 Days Inside.
Something like that.
Ross Kemp on prison.
Shit, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
Man
yeah.
vs. Food. And it's Ross Kemp and Adam Richman go around and try...
Whoever can eat the most gets released, regardless of what crime you did.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you get a T-shirt.
He's a serial killer, but he can tuck bloody snap away.
Look how
he's out.
Hammered down fucking subways.
He just did... And the thing slides open. He's like... this feral murderer just leaving the prison.
What about...
Amazing.
Match of the Day.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I forgot I was winning.
Oh, God.
Stay.
For F-ing sake.
What about Match of the Day with some football analysis?
Someone says, speak football, it's getting boring. Right, now I'm going to double down.
We spoke football for ages.
Match of the Day and Lost.
As long as Gary Lineker is stranded on an island, I didn't watch it.
Did
you not?
No.
The first two series are excellent. After that, it's just like, oh, there's more people on this island. Oh, there's even more people on this island. Oh, this isn't a deserted island.
The Polish Wonder says, why are you asking us for our opinions? You don't read the comments. The irony. Jeff says Prison Break. But with what?
Prison Break.
Prison Break and Match of the Day.
Yeah.
Can Alan Hansen successfully get out of the prison yard?
Or maybe.
Getting shanked.
Or maybe he wants to be there like, he's trying to saw through the bars there. That is an absolutely diabolical technique. You're never going to get out of a prison like that. That's like that. That's what kind of thing.
Like Alan analysis.
Alan Hansen analysing
Joe McGrath,
that.
Formerly of the radio, has texted me saying, come down with me, which I think means come down, dine with me, and fake taxi.
Wow.
Do you have to rate them out of 10 afterwards?
I mean, it's still called come down with me, but just a very slight spelling change to the well the first word there. Yeah, you could also have strictly in a similar vein. Actually, I'm not going to say that. Fake taxi.
Taking a really.
And strictly come dancing.
Perverse.
Again, just change the one word there. Strictly come dancing, and then. You have to. That's enough now. Move on then.
It's next, four.
Oh, four in the early afternoon? Mid afternoon now. Late afternoon, if anything. Oh, I've had enough, lads. That's tucking me out, that. Fake taxi and come down with me. I didn't like that. I didn't like that whatsoever, actually. We shouldn't have read that out.
Well, it was you that did it.
No, you read his question out.
All right, okay. Breaking Bad with Bake Off. Ooh.
Uh-huh.
Breaking Bread. It could be called. Anyone? Cheers, Joe.
Fake dining. Yeah, there's loads, isn't there? Yeah. Come Down With Me is awesome. I can never get older when that guy decided to suck off the whiskey. It's the maddest scene.
He's whiskey.
You've never seen it.
Like,
he just goes, I'll just taste it.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just like... Did you not see the camera probably three fucking feet from
I'm
you?
Right, that's going in late night. Last night.
No.
Let me write that
is
down.
This everyone's reaction to the Bruno Fernandez news?
Fantastic. Come dine with me, whisk.
I just love the sore loser on Fade. Come Down With Me.
This is my favourite.
The one that actually kicks off, you've won, Jane.
I've got a picture of him on my
very happy
in the profile.
Yeah, it's quality.
He just really opens it and goes,
dear Lord.
It's me. And then he just skips second and third and goes, you've won, Jane. I hope you're very happy. You've ruined my night so you can take the money. I hope you spend it on some lessons in grace and decorum, because you go about all the grace of reversing dump truck with no tyres on it.
It's easily the best.
Dear Lord, what's a sad little life.
Sad little life, Jane.
And then she goes, the
sarcasm
goes,
in the announcer
goes,
on it.
I don't get it. He goes, well, you wouldn't.
Well, you wouldn't get it. Oh,
love that.
The sarcasm in the guy that's doing the announcing is outrageous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And literally everyone's copied that. Yeah. Like, that's what Love Island, Celeb Go Dating, all them lot, all copied that from Come Down With Me.
Mint, let's wrap it up there. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe if you haven't. Joe will be doing a transfer show later. But look. This is your first time. Don't get mad when there's no transfer news in there.
Do you know what? That Bruno Fernandes one, there was 15 minutes of transfer news and just 5 minutes of whether Jupiter's taking the piss as a planet.
Right.
Why?
That's the sort of shit that you're coming into.
It's been flinging rocks at us, mate.
Right.
Unbelievable.
If you're thinking you're going to see serious analysis, this, that, and the other, no. Tomorrow morning, come back for that.
No.
We'll do that tomorrow morning.
Don't tell them what to. They'll love it.
But if you're in for absolute, utter fucking carnage and a couple of lads having a laugh, tonight, 10 o'clock, Stretford Park.
I'd love it if the Bruno Fernandes story, like, confirmed whilst you're on air.
Yeah, he's in the middle of a fucking one of his kind of fucking moments.
That's
yeah.
The seagull, that's not me.
Grabbing the fucking seagull by the neck with
eating
his fucking
plunger. Whatever he's got planned for tonight.
I'm going to get a whisk!
Sucking whiskey off a whisk. And that's, you know, Bruno Fernandes is announced.
Angel Delight, actually.
Right, we're fucking going. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you in a bit. Laters.
Bye-bye.